This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff, and with me for the first time is Mark Souza, who's going to be kind of shadowing me for the next couple of weeks. We'll see how that goes. And then we got a lot to talk about in the world of sports, definitely. We got the NL Central and the NL West final one games, 163 to determine playoff spots. We got the Brewers versus the Cubs, and we got the Rockies versus the Dodgers today. Winners go on to the National League wildcard game, and that's going to be sure an exciting one. Then we're going to talk about the NFL, and we had a week four happen. A lot of things happened in that week. Also, we have the NBA season underway. We had LeBron dressed up as the Lakers for the first time. We had Kawhi Leonard dressed up in the Toronto Raptors jerseys for the first time. We got a lot of things going on. But first, we're going to talk about the game 163. It's not often you see a game 163, let alone two. So it's a very exciting time today. We first are going to kick it off with the Dodgers versus the Rockies. This NL West has been erased since the very beginning of the season. It's going very back and forth. And with this game, I'm going to have to say it's going to go to the Dodgers because they just have the better team. They have the better lineup. And now I'm not saying they're going to go very far. Because they are. Last year's participants of the National League and the World Series, granted, but there's just a lot of other teams out there that are just as good as they are. The thing is with the National League is they're not nearly as good as the American League. There's multiple 100-win teams in the American League, and granted, multiple 100-loss teams, but when you look at the best teams of baseball, you're thinking the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Houston Astros, and those are all American League teams. And when you think of the National League team, it's kind of like the redheaded stepchild of baseball at the moment because of how just you can see the records speak for themselves. And I'm going to throw it to Mark here. What are your thoughts on the Dodgers versus the Rockies?
Yeah, you know, both teams coming in, obviously you want to win so you don't have to go into the wild card and face an elimination game. But I actually think the Dodgers will pull this off. They come in from the weekend basically having batting practice against the Giants for the last couple games.
Well, the last game was 15-0, so yeah.
Yeah, so with that said, they're playing at home. And I know home field advantage isn't necessarily the biggest advantage for all sports, considering baseball.
I mean, I would say this will be a factor, definitely.
A little bit of a factor, definitely. But I just think that with them hitting the ball this weekend and them playing at home, I see them taking it and winning the NL West again. Yeah.
Well, if you're going off momentum, the Dodgers have the better momentum out of them in the Rockies. But I'm taking nothing against the Rockies. I think it's going to be more of a competitive matchup than most people are predicting. The Rockies have stayed in it in the NL West race for the better part of the last couple of months, and they haven't really let that up. They haven't slowed down in that matter. And looking into that game, I think the Rockies are going to make it close, but I don't think they're going to pull it off, unfortunately for them. But I think this is not a year where it's like this is their only chance at a playoff appearance. I think they're going to be competitive going into next season and maybe even the season after that. So we both have the Dodgers taking it. Now we're going to go into the NL Central with the Cubs and the Brewers. The Brewers have been pretty hot for the last couple of weeks, trying to get into that final playoff spot in the Central against the Cubs, who also have been kind of struggling going into the end of the season. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, This game, I think it might be a little bit harder to predict, in my opinion. I actually will take the Brewers winning on the road. I am a little bit nervous since they haven't really been there before, and the Cubs are experienced in critical, you know, postseason type games. So with that being said, I still am going to take the Brewers in an upset this morning.
Yeah, well, they are playing at 10 a.m. today, Western or Pacific time, excuse me. But basically, I understand why you're saying the Brewers. They are probably the most momentum out of both teams right now, and the Cubs have been kind of struggling. They could have taken this division a long time ago, and they just have not been able to steal the deal. So that's been an issue for them. And also, I would definitely say that the Brewers are a team that just wants something to prove. Like, they've kind of been looked at negatively, over the last couple of weeks, just because a lot of people didn't even see them getting this far into a 163. They said, oh, this team's going to be so close, but yet so far, type of thing. But this game is definitely going to be fun to watch. And for me personally, I also, I'm going to be a little different. I'm going to say the Cubs, because of what you kind of said about their positives, they've been here before. There's still a lot of experienced guys. There's a lot of guys still here from the World Series team in 2016. So that, I think, is very crucial to look at in this situation. So I'm going to have the Cubs, you have the Brewers, and we're going to go into a little bit about the other playoff teams. Who do you say, I'm going to just throw it to you again, Mark, but who do you say is a team that you would look out for, and who's going to be favorite for the World Series?
From the National League, I actually think the Cubs will be the best team, and they'll probably
make it. If they get it past this 163.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if they lose this game, I think they'll take care of the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So, I actually have the Cubs coming out of the National League. You know, you want to say the Dodgers are looking very strong, of course. Atlanta, what an incredible season they've had so far.
Yeah, they've been on the bottom of the NL for so long, and now they're back into the top of their division. Granted, their division's not the strongest, but they still made it through it. And they're also the team of the 90s when you think about it, their past World Series appearances. And if it wasn't, you can say if it wasn't for the Yankees, they would be the dynasty of the 90s. So, talking about that, like, I can see a Cubs Braves matchup going. I'm not sure if they're facing the DS or if it's going to be in a CS, but it's definitely going to be a competitive matchup if they face each other in the postseason. And I would say that with the Braves, feels like they're the only ones that actually clinched a division spot. And in the National League, that is, I believe they are the only ones that did, because NL West and NL Central are still up for grabs. So they're the only ones that actually clinched a division spot, and I think that's going to be a huge turning point in the postseason right now, because other teams had to fight for their one extra game of this long season to even get to win their division. But I think the American League is looking more interesting, to say the least, just because the Yankees and the Red Sox have been dominating. And if the Tampa Bay Rays weren't in the NL East, they would be in the playoffs. I've said this before with Jesse before in the podcast last week, that if they were in the Central with the not the Cubs, that's a completely different league. with Cleveland, thank you. They would definitely be in that. They may even win that division. So it's really a shame how they're in the wrong division at the right time, because they are a team that is very good. But looking to the American League, the only teams that are really looked at right now are the Yankees and the Red Sox, for obvious reasons, just how good they both are. But would you look above the Astros? Would you look over the Astros, or do you think they can make it back to that World Series again?
I think they definitely can make it back. It for me, it just feels like it's the Red Sox, you know, league to lose at this point. But absolutely, I could definitely see Houston coming back and, you know, taking this postseason by storm like they did last season. Of course, they were the darlings of Major League Baseball last year. You made a couple of good points, too, about how strong the American League has been this season. Team like Tampa Bay, team like Seattle Mariners, both teams on the outside looking in, who you would definitely say would be in the National League playoffs more than likely if they played in one of the divisions out in the National
League.
Maybe
the Mariners. I mean, if I guess they would be in the NL West technically, so maybe they have a shot to go in there. I don't know how they would go with the three-way. Like, if that could have been an easy, like, a three-way tie in the NL West with the Mariners. But I think I just think American League is the much tougher league. It obviously shows, with record speaks for themselves.
Absolutely.
Granted, the worst teams in the league also are from the American League, but they had to face more American League teams than the National League teams, so maybe that's also a reason.
Yeah, it's frustrating to be an Orioles fan, especially.
Oh, absolutely. What is it, 115 losses this season?
115 losses. I mean, going through the turmoil of, you know, getting rid of your best player, you know, so fans not happy with management, and then you have to play the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Devil Rays, and then, of course, the Blue Jays. So it's a tough division.
Well, I'm going to give a bright side to Orioles fans, that you do not have the worst season of all time in Major League Baseball. That goes to the Cleveland Spiders in 1899. They had 134 losses in one season, and after that, they actually folded as a franchise. So you guys could have been a lot worse. I'm just making a bright side to you.
Some people would say that they folded during the season.
Well, no, this team. Very true. But the Cleveland Spiders, they stopped being a franchise after that season. I don't think you can get worse than that. But, and you don't have the worst record ever in the last 20 years, because the 2003 Tigers, they had 119 losses. So, hey, bright side. There's a bright side. You're not the worst team ever, but you still get the number one pick, which is positive.
There you go.
Yeah. And then you're looking at the other 100-loss team is the Royals, who just won a World Series not too long ago. And that's a huge drop.
Yeah.
Of course, the team they faced dropped, like, off the face of the map also, when the Mets they beat in 2015, and also the Giants they lost to in 2014. So that whole little span of unlikely teams making the World Series, they kind of hit Earth.
I agree.
They definitely hit the back on Earth. But do you see a surprise in the American League going into the World Series, or do you see it one of those three power teams?
I think Boston is clearly the favorite right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about the other teams. It's hard to count out the A's. You know, Oakland has...
They are going to New York in the wild card game, though. I think that's a huge, huge factor in this.
It is. It is. But it's one of those games where I don't know if I would be shocked if either team made a deep run if they get past that first game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there have been multiple wild card teams that made it to the World Series over the last couple of years.
Baseball's just one of those sports where it's about getting hot at the right time.
I mean, absolutely. I 100% agree with that.
I mean, you can definitely say that in football, basketball, any other sport, but baseball is such a, especially when pitchers get hot or when bullpens get hot, it's like, I think that takes over the rest of the team. You see trickle down into the hitting, and players on the field are making better defensive plays. Like, it's just a huge momentum thing.
Absolutely. The championship teams are the ones with the best bullpen, or the ones that produce the best in the postseason. I mean, look at the San Francisco Giants dynasty beginning of this decade. They had the best pitching in the postseason. I mean, it was hard to stop them, especially with Bumgarner in 2014. But they weren't the best team in the league. Either of those 3 years, they went to the World Series. They were just hot at the end of the season, and they kept the momentum going until they were holding that championship.
Especially 2014.
Especially 2014.
That was a Bumgarner-driven World Series postseason.
Probably the greatest postseason pitching performance of all time.
Yeah,
it's at least top three in my opinion.
At least their previous two championships, it wasn't just Bumgarner showing up. They had Lincecum, they had Kane, they had other pitchers that were.
2012 was Matt Cain's year. 2010 was Lincecum's year
Even show Barry off. Zito showed up.
Barry Zito did show up in 2012. That's true, but you can say Matt Cain was the one that was really leading that team. Of course, Tim Lincecum was also very good in the bullpen in that 2012 series also. But like I said, it's bullpen and pitching is going to take you to that championship. You can have the hot bat, but if you can't stop them from scoring, then what are you going to do?
Yeah, and you know what? This whole momentum thing, getting hot at the right time, it's kind of why I don't see a big reason why I don't see the Braves making any noise in the postseason, because they don't have experience, they haven't been there, and they haven't really put. Yes, they've been playing well this season, but they haven't played any meaningful stress situations in the last, I don't know, month or two.
Right. Well, we're gonna about to close it here for this first segment about playoffs. Who's your playoff? Well, before we close, who is your World Series matchup?
I definitely have Boston, and they'll face off, I think, against the Cubs.
Okay, so we got Boston versus Chicago. I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to say Houston goes back to the World Series, and they're going to face the... You know what? I'm going to go on a limb. Colorado Rockies are going to make it there. So Rockies versus Astros for me. Just I'm going to take a huge guess. I'm not a guess, but a huge
MLB
risk on that.
MLB would be not happy about that matchup.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You're not going to rig the game like you did in the NBA, where they have admitted that. But we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk about the NFL Week 4 and the rookie quarterbacks, how they did, and how other teams did. We'll get right on that when we get back to you.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We just finished talking about the MLB playoff picture and all the game 163s that are happening. And now we're going to go right into week four of the NFL. Now, this was a pretty eventful week four. We saw what many people say the end of Fitzmagic as the Bears destroyed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 48-10. Fitzpatrick went 9 of 18 for 126 yards and an interception before being replaced by Jameis Winston, who went 16 of 20 for 145 yards and a touchdown and two picks. But I believe the main story is Mike Mitchell-Trubisky, who went 19 of 26, 354 yards and six touchdowns in the what didn't even seem like a game. It was just a stomping of the Buccaneers. But do you think this is the end of the whole Fitzmagic thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fitzmagic in Tampa Bay is done. He will go back to his backup quarterback duties. And I'm not so sure that the Buccaneers and Dirk Koetter are upset about it. I think that they were kind of looking for an excuse to, you know, insert Winston back into the team after his suspension. So here it is. He can go back to Winston, and that's that.
Yeah, we'll see how they do in the rest of the season. Going into the next game, the Titans beat the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in overtime 26-23. Marcus Mariota went 30 of 43 with 344 yards, two touchdowns. He also had 10 rushing attempts for 46 yards and a touchdown. The running game for the Titans were not very good there, with Derrick Henry being the main rusher with 8 attempts for 24 yards. And also we had Davis, who has scored his first touchdown on the last play in overtime with that huge jumping catch to win the game. But the Eagles really beat themselves in this, don't you think?
Yeah, and you know, I know Wentz is coming back from an injury, but he still did
very well. Sorry to interrupt, but he went 33 of 50 with 348 yards and two touchdowns. He had a good game.
He did. Their offense, I think the numbers looked pretty good, but it looked a little discombobulated at times. We'll see them get better, obviously, as Wentz gets...
I think the defense lost it for this one because of how many penalties that happened at the last drive in overtime. Like, they stopped them on fourth, then they got a defensive holding call, and they kept getting penalties. They kept they basically helped them drive through the length of the field to score.
Yeah.
They were up 23-20 going into that final drive in overtime. I mean, but looking at the Philadelphia offense, there was a lot of success going on. I mean, Zach Ertz had 10 receptions for 112 yards. Alshon Jeffrey had 8 receptions for 105 yards and a touchdown. Like, this team played relatively well throughout this game, but the defense lost it for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, you would expect, I think, a few more points with the offensive output. You're right. They did have success, especially throwing the football. What I really liked about this game was Corey Davis showing up. He's a really good player, and I think when he came out of college, he was one of my favorite wide receivers. And being with this offense, being with Mariota, it's going to be hard for him to have consistently top numbers, but it was nice for him to have that little breakout game. He is somebody that I did put stock in, and you know, in fantasy drafts and things like that. But it was nice to actually see the player who is very talented kind of get some recognition.
We'll talk more about fantasy football later on in the day in our fantasy football podcast. But also, just going into the just final recap of this game, this was the Eagles' game to lose. That's just my straight up opinion about it. Mm-hmm. Going into the next one, the Bengals and Falcons game, another very close game. 1 point game at the end of the game, with the Bengals scoring, with that amazing play by AJ Green in the last like 40 seconds of the game, that sliding catch, and it really showed how the tenacity of the Cincinnati Bengals. Andy Dalton went 29 of 41 with 337 yards and 3 touchdowns with 1 pick. They did try to run the ball a good amount. Gio Bernard went 15 attempts for 69 yards and 2 touchdowns, so they mainly ran him the ball in the red zone. And then Boyd had more targets to him than AJ Green did. He had 15 targets for 11 receptions, 100 yards, and AJ Green only had 8 targets for 4 receptions, 78 yards. So it was a lot. There was a lot of different options for Andy Dalton to throw to, but Julio Jones has been struggling. Like, yeah, he had 9 receptions for 173 yards, but he hasn't scored a touchdown in a long time.
The Falcons just still have not figured out their red zone offense. That was a big deal last year when they were making the transition from Shanahan. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones didn't really connect in the red zone last year. We're seeing it again. Now, the Falcons put up a lot of points yesterday, so it's hard to really say anything about that. But Calvin Ridley, again, found the end zone.
He's their touchdown guy. Like, Sanu had 6 receptions for 111 yards. Ridley only had 54 yards receiving, but he had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and Ridley, again, finding that the nose for the end zone. I am very impressed with the Bengals. You know, not to discount anything they did yesterday. Yes, that winning catch, AJ Green in the end zone, that was a beautiful play. I was down on the Bengals this year. I didn't really.
Like everyone was. Just how they played last year was very mediocre at best.
Yeah, and I'm not a big Dalton guy, but he played well yesterday. He showed up, and ultimately they won the game. They scored more points than the Falcons, but they turned up there at the end and got that game winning drive.
All right, we'll talk about some nothing games right now. The Packers shut out the Bills 22-0. Josh Allen really didn't do anything for that team. He kind of struggled through the entire game. And, of course, it shows with no points being on the board. He had 60-33 with 151 yards with 2 picks. This game was just, it was just there. There wasn't really much excitement to it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, this matchup, it was bad on paper, and it was even worse, actual game.
Pretty underwhelming game.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised they didn't pull Aaron Rodgers somewhere in that fourth quarter just to, eliminate any chance of him re-injuring his leg at all. Because the Bills had nothing. I don't even remember them getting close to scoring in that game from what I remember.
I think they were at the 30, sometimes maybe the 20-yard line was the closest I saw.
Yeah, the only thing that I remember about that game was Josh Allen kind of just getting sacked or throwing the ball away.
Yeah, we'll end that because that game was just, there wasn't a lot to go on. And Aaron Rodgers struggled that game too, so it wasn't very much to watch. It wasn't very interesting to say the least. But then going on to the Saints and Giants, it was a Kamara day basically, who rushed for 134 yards and 3 touchdowns. And I think it was just that was the key, that was the main story of that game.
Alvin Kamara is a beast. Is just insane. Like, the guy...
I put him as, like, if he's not number one, he's number two.
Like, they say, you know, he's not going to keep scoring touchdowns at this rate, and I just disagree. Every time the guy gets the ball, it doesn't matter where he is on the field, he can take it to the house. And
so he averaged 7 yards a carry on 19 attempts.
And he had a very pedestrian first half in that game. It was the second half where he just...
It became unfair.
Yeah, it was like the Giants... The dam broke at some point.
The Giants defense is not good. And
not
he
good.
Took full advantage of that.
Not good, but they did a good job at limiting Michael Thomas. They definitely were stopping the Saints in the first half. The Saints kicked, what, 3 or 4 field goals in the first half? They really couldn't find the end zone. Mm-hmm. They were moving the ball, of course, but they were getting stuck in the red zone.
Right.
So, you know, credit to the Giants for putting up a fight in that game. It wasn't over until late.
Yeah. Barkley could have done better. I mean, he only got 10 attempts granted. Maybe give him the ball more. And maybe lay off the 41 passing attempts from Eli Manning, get more rushes to Barkley, who knows. But this game was all Saints, I think. As soon as that halftime ended and went to the third quarter, it was all Saints.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And probably the most interesting game, in my opinion, of everyone is the Browns versus the Raiders. The Browns were winning that game for, I would think, the entire game until the end. And they just blew it. It was the Browns had that win, and they just browned it.
They did.
Browned it is now a verb of how, like, they play. They play well. They play great until the end, and then they just collapse. They just can't get it. They can't finish.
Yeah, and I think we saw the desperation from the Raiders. That was a game they had to have, even though they needed a late fourth quarter comeback to tie the game and go in overtime.
It was like, what? It was 42-34. Going into that, and then they got that into overtime, and it was like maybe it was John Gruden feeling like, oh, I got the monkey off my back winning my first game in 10 years.
I think it would have been devastating for the, like, let's just think if we're talking right now and the Raiders lose that game 42-34, they're 0-4. They just lost to the Browns. It was a game that they actually
to the Browns is that, like, that bad anymore, because they have a lot of good talent on that defensive side, and I think they're being very underrated just because of the Browns. But I think this team can obviously do well with 42 points. I mean, that's not knocking the Raiders or anything, but just, like, the Browns can win games, they just cannot finish.
The Browns are definitely more competitive this year than we've seen in a long time, but until they have, you know, a 7-8 win season minimum, they're always going to be the Browns.
I don't remember the last time they won back-to-back games, to be honest.
But, yeah, it was an exciting game, though. I mean, if you watched that game, you definitely weren't bored. There was a lot of points. There was a critical moment in that game. I don't know if you saw it, but in the fourth quarter, Derek Carr got sacked. He fumbled the football. The Browns had a clear recovery, and it looked like they were going to take the recovery back to the house for a touchdown. And the referee actually blew the play dead, said that Derek Carr was in the grasp. And he was not at all. The ball came out real early, and the referee couldn't see where the ball was, and he immediately blew the whistle. But that was a huge play in that game. And I know that it'll probably be discussed this week.
Yeah, I would say so, too. I know what you're talking about, too, where he... He can see him lose the ball fairly, like, with the replay, at least. You can see him lose the ball way before his, like, body hit the ground. And that, obviously that played a huge factor. If that turnover happens, that game's over.
Absolutely. It will. I don't know if Hugh Jackson has actually discussed that or not, but it is something that I'm sure somebody will bring up to him.
Mm-hmm. Going into the other not-so-entertaining games, like the Seahawks versus Cardinals, it was 20-17, but... It was a very lackluster game and ended with a Sebastian Janikowski field goal from 52 yards out. But both quarterbacks didn't even break 200 yards. Only one touchdown between them. And it was just, I'm not going to really say much about this game. I don't know what do you have anything to say about this game?
It was just an ugly football game.
Yeah.
We're talking about two teams that are probably going to combine to win 10, 11 games. So I don't think too many people not on the West Coast watched.
Detroit and Dallas ended in a last second field goal. Also, it was also a pretty ugly game to watch, to say the least. Matt Stafford threw for over 300 yards, granted. Prescott had 255, but he was playing kind of sloppy throughout that game. Ezekiel Elliott had 152 yards rushing, so Prescott, again, got carried by Elliott. I have nothing much to say about this game other than Elliott just carrying the Cowboys. What about you?
Yeah, you know, and in addition to those rushing yards, he had, you know, four catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. That critical deep pass at Dak floated to him at the end of the game there. Mm-hmm. It was a big game for Dallas again, where we just talked about how the Raiders is kind of a you know, must-win type of feel to it. It kind of felt like that way for the Cowboys too, and not the cleanest game, not the prettiest, but at the end of the day, wins are what matters, and they got the win.
Right, and then you got New England coming back to reality and destroying the Dolphins 38-7. I have nothing to say about this game other than New England is dusting off and riding back into the maybe into the AFC East.
I think they call this a market correction game.
Yeah, absolutely. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, where you know, the Dolphins were coming in hot 3-0, and the Patriots have looked non-Patriot like the first few weeks of the season. But as we know, the Patriots showed that it's still their division, I think. And the Dolphins, they didn't put up a fight at all. That game was not close.
Yeah. And the Jaguars showed they're still in playoff contention with a 31-12 win over the Jets. Blake Bortles played relatively decent with 388 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. Darnold struggled with 167 yards, 17 of 34 passing. I have really not so much to say about this game either. And do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I think that it was a game that went as planned. We have a rookie quarterback playing against a great defense, and you could tell. It was a struggle for Darnold. It was a struggle for the Jets. Even when they scored their one touchdown, it was like, how many plays do they need inside the 10-yard line to get inside? So, 31-12. I mean, Jacksonville took care of business. It was a nice rebound game for them.
Right. And then we had the 49ers take on the Chargers in a game that was close at the end, but after a costly interception, the 49ers lost this game. Even without Garoppolo, I think this game would have ended the same way.
Yeah, and I think this game is more about the Chargers kind of being the same old Chargers, mm-hmm. where they just play to the level of their opponents too many times for me. Like, they should have easily won this game. I don't think that it should have been 29-27 at all. It should have been a blowout game, even though, you know, there was a big presence of 49er fans at the game. I would assume the Chargers
all red out there.
Yeah, what was the spread? Like 11 points? Like, I mean, they're predicted at that point.
Yeah, that's kind of right.
Yeah, so I don't know. Very underwhelming performance by the Chargers. They get the win, of course. That's what matters. But yeah. They're not inspiring much confidence to Chargers fans after watching that game.
Yeah. And you could say the same for the Ravens versus the Steelers. It was just a pedestrian game that just ended with the Ravens winning. I didn't see anything exciting in this game. I don't know about you.
I think the Ravens are just not exciting. Like, they have a really good defense normally, and I think they made plays last night that showed that again. And their offense with Joe Flacco, I mean, they run like two tight end sets. They, you know, Michael Crabtree on the outside, Brown on the outside. He had a really good game, but they're just not an exciting team. Like, they don't have players that, you know, you're looking at on offense that, oh, I have to see this guy play.
Mm-hmm. And looking into the Monday night game today to end this segment is the Chiefs and the Broncos. The red hot Patrick Mahomes with 13 touchdowns on the season already. Against the kind of disappointing Broncos with Case Keenum, with he only has three touchdowns this whole season. And I've talked about this before in the previous weeks, but Case Keenum has always been a journeyman quarterback, and one year is not going to change that. One good season that's going to change that is what I mean. But I have the Chiefs taking this. I don't see much fight against the Broncos defense against that hot Chiefs offense. What about you?
I actually disagree. I think this game is going to be very competitive. I think the Chiefs will have, I say, a tougher time on offense because it's been so easy for them. So I think they'll still put up points. But I also think Denver is going to put up points. the Chiefs' defense, not very good. I think Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas can definitely make some plays tonight. I know you talked about Keenum maybe having some underwhelming stats to start the season, but this might be a game for him where he throws, you know, two or three touchdown passes. I could see a score somewhere like, I don't know, 31-27, something like that.
Well, it could be a close game, but again, we'll see. We're going to end this segment right here. When we come back, we will talk about the NBA season and how that's coming about and seeing the new players in new uniforms, and we'll get right on that when we get back to you.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We've talked about the MLB playoffs. We've talked about week four of the NFL. Now let's get on to the new season of the NBA. The preseason just began. And who do you see? Do you see any differences in this season than last year? Or do you see kind of the same repetition as we have seen the last couple of years?
So you mean Golden State just winning the title?
Maybe, yeah. With adding it to DeMarcus Cousins, that kind of put them almost over the top. But he is coming off an Achilles injury, granted, but he's still one of the best centers in the league.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he adds to the team is just, I mean, it's it's just frosting at this point. I mean, look at their starting players other than him. I mean, last year they even did it without having a deep bench. They had, you know, in previous years, their bench was actually very strong. And you know, as long as one of those big four don't get hurt, they're going to be back in it.
Yeah, and also the addition of LeBron James to the Lakers, that also puts a huge thing in the Western Conference as the superior conference, as people may want to say, because of just how deep they are and how people say the East is weak. I wouldn't say the East is too weak because there are some good teams like the Celtics and the Raptors, but I still see this as a Western Conference dominant league. So, but seeing the new guys in new uniforms was interesting to say the least. There's still more games going on today. But to be honest, I don't see much of this season changing than it did from last year.
No, I don't either. I mean, obviously, you mentioned LeBron to the Lakers. That most likely makes him a playoff team. And, you know, they should have a really good season. Anytime you put LeBron, I think you could put LeBron on any team in the NBA and you're probably going to win at least 35, 40 games. With any cast of characters. And, of course, the Lakers do have some good players there. I obviously don't think that they're anywhere near the Warriors level or even probably Houston and some other teams. But, yeah, I could see the Lakers, you know, getting, obviously, in the playoffs, maybe a top six seed.
Mm-hmm. Do you see this as the LeBron's streak of NBA Finals ending this season?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It has been eight years, 2010. 2011.
It's been a long time. I don't remember a final.
2010, the Lakers beat the Magic, I want to say. I could be wrong on that. But 2011 was his first year with the Heat. So 2011 to now. So 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017. So 7 years in a row at the moment. I guess 2018 you can count because he went this year also. So 2018, so 8 years in a row. So we could be looking at a ninth year in a row, but many people say since he went to the West, he has to face the Warriors early, not in the finals. So that is a huge speed bump for him in that next consecutive year of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if he was still in the East right now, he'd have a much easier path because he wouldn't have to go through Golden State. I mean, yes, there are a couple of good teams in the East, but he could have joined one of those teams. What if he went to Philadelphia, you know? Like, maybe that team is just...
Was that, like, people say that was an option. Was he actually considering that? Didn't really feel like he was. I think people just thought he was.
You know, it's lying season all the time in the NBA, so who actually knows? But regardless, him going out west is going to be the reason why that streak ends. If he was in the East, whether it was Philadelphia, you know, it doesn't even matter if he stayed with Cleveland. I would still think that his team would be the favorite, even though I do think Boston and Philly have good squads this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a very different season with LeBron in the West. His first time in the West. He's always been in the Eastern Conference. This is his first season in the West and facing off against the Pacific Division so often. So this is going to be a very interesting season, to be say the least.
Yeah, and, you know, his seasons prior, you know, one of the things about playing in the Eastern Conference that gets overlooked is you can take, and I know LeBron's a guy that plays every game, but you can play teams where maybe you play less minutes because you know that they're not going to put up much of a fight. The middle part of the Western Conference is very strong. It's not like the East where there's, you know, four or five teams that are decent and then there's just a drop-off and the last few teams that make the playoffs are just not good teams that would never make it in the West. Mm-hmm. In the West, you have good teams that aren't in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. They're always... well, I guess you can say the same for the East also, but... I would definitely say that this team, this league, this NBA is still only a handful of teams have actually a shot at making the finals. It's not like any team can win in any time type of feel. It's kind of almost redundant, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, I mean, the ratings speak for themselves. People are watching the NBA, so they must enjoy this. But for me,
I think it's the high action and the characters, yeah, and the, on the Warriors and the and LeBron James and all these other players that have characters and charisma, which is great, great for the league, no doubt about it. The league is at its hottest right now, but it's still, it kind of still hurts the league, in my opinion, when only a few teams have actual contendership for a championship.
Yeah, and I think it's still a league that's so superstar-driven, maybe more than other sports.
Well, I think it's because only five guys can be on the court at once, and oh, yeah, one guy can, like, instead of the NFL where it's 11 guys, you can't have one guy really carry a team.
And in the NFL, players are wearing helmets, so it's the recognition of NBA players is, you know, they're visible.
Well,
so.
I would still say the NFL players are just as recognizable.
I mean, you do have your Tom Brady's, and there are other guys, but I would say overall, NBA players are just more prevalent. It's just, they play a game where, like you said, there's five guys on the court. There's no helmets or pads in the way. Like, you're seeing these people as you would normally, you know, pretty close to what you'd see them on the street, rather than, like, in the NFL, like, when Tom Brady is, you know, doing his modeling stuff, he looks completely different than he does on Sundays.
Yeah, but you also see them without their helmets on. Just as that's my defense of that. You see them on, if they're a good player, they're going to be shown on the sidelines a lot.
And then, like, Cam Newton is basically Russell Westbrook, would you say?
Is basically Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, in terms of, like, you know, they're the fun outfits that they like to wear post game and things like that.
Oh! I see what you're saying. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. Like, one's,
you
like,
never know what they're
feet,
gonna wear.
One's,
you know,
like 3 inches to 5 inches taller than the other buddy. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean. They're both the main characters, and they're kind of bad with the press, also.
Yeah,
so both one's characters. A jerk, one, yeah, so. Definitely, characters is important in sports, but you could definitely say that you can be a one-man show in an NBA team, not in many other leagues you can do that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And LeBron's kind of proven that over the last couple of years with the Cleveland Cavaliers. After he lost Kyrie, he still made it to the finals, so kind of shows that he can take any team to
and
the
even
finals.
Like that first LeBron-Cleveland team that went...
You mean in 07?
Yeah.
The one that got swept by the Spurs?
Yes. So look how bad that team, like that roster actually was. Like, other than LeBron, like that was a There was
As soon as LeBron left, they had one of the worst records.
Yeah, they won like 20 games.
Yeah, they had a 26-game losing streak. It really shows how good that guy is to make it seem like that. Do you see the Cavaliers back into that slump of like not even mediocrity, but like worst team in the league again?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'll be the worst team in the league now, but I see them approaching that rather than, you know, they're definitely ascending quickly. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're here 2 years from now and the Cavaliers have the number one overall pick again.
It is kind of fishy how many times they got the number one overall pick, especially 2 years in a row is extremely fishy to me. And a team, there's just been so many times where the worst team in the league gets like the fourth or fifth pick. I understand why there's a draft lottery, so teams just don't tank. I totally get that. But sometimes it's just like a team's not tanking. They're just bad.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole tanking talk is something that never goes away. We're always talking about it. Is there a way to improve the NBA draft? Is there a way to improve the system that allows teams to tank and actually, you know, not making it a good idea, or you know, because people can be like, oh, my team, I never want to see my team tank. Or, but you know, if your team is one of the worst teams in the league, would you rather have the number one pick, or at least the best chance of getting the number one pick, or would you rather have the fourth or fifth pick? Like for me, and especially in basketball is such a sport where you get a LeBron James. I mean, yes, in the NFL you can say this with quarterbacks, but it's just not as apparent. It's not as apparent. Basketball players, these prodigies, when they come out of high school and go play that 1 year in college now, it's pretty easy to see.
They are talking about changing that role, which I think is a good role. Maybe 2 years should be. I understand, like, 1 year doesn't really show their potential, in my opinion, at least. I think they need a little bit more. Like, I like the NFL thing. You have to be a junior. Maybe a sophomore is fair enough in the NBA, but they are talking about changing that rule. And the draft has always been... they always put too much pressure on the guy, especially if he's a first round pick, especially if he's the first five pick. Like, you're gonna lead this team to the championship. Who do I have on my team? Not really many people. Good luck. Like, they really throw him into the woodshed with that. Mm-hmm. But with this season coming up in the NBA, and a lot of new players, in, like Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors and LeBron with the Lakers, and so on and so forth. I still see the West ending the same with the Warriors taking it. But who do you see in the East? Do you see a team like the Celtics finally getting over that hump? Or do you see, the Raptors, getting over that hump? Or do you see the Celtics going back to the finals?
Yeah, I really liked the move that the Raptors made by getting Kawhi. I just thought they needed to shake it up a little bit. They needed to do something aggressive. Like, they could have just done the same old thing, but I don't think it would have put them over the top. But I definitely think that the Raptors adding Kawhi is good, but Celtics for me are the top team in the East. I think they're just the best coach team and most well-rounded.
Yeah, you're right on that, but like the Raptors really kind of ended that DeMar DeRozan era with a very bad taste in people's mouths. And it was pretty rough, I would say. The guy helped the team get to the number one seed in last year, and then gets traded for Kawhi. And just, I would be a little PO'd too if I was him. But I understand why the Raptors made that decision. They needed a guy like Kawhi for that defensive stand. And who knows, the Raptors might overtake the Celtics, but I think it's still between the Celtics and the Raptors. And we'll see how the Lakers do against the Rockets and the Warriors in that conference also. It's going to be it's going to be those five, in my opinion. Lakers with LeBron, it's just a huge difference. The Warriors, it's a given. Rockets with Harden is a given. And with the Celtics and Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward coming back, as well as the Raptors getting Kawhi, I think those are the five teams that are going to be the favorites going into and probably are going to be the last five standing going into like that last playoff run. And one of those teams is going to be left out, and I think it's going to be the Lakers.
Say those five again.
The Lakers, the Rockets, the Warriors, the Raptors, and the Celtics.
Gotcha. So no Philly? You see them on the outside looking in? A little too young.
They're close. But how they played in the playoffs last year, Ben Simmons had 1 point in one of those games. You can't win games like that.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, they're close. But I would definitely say that they're still kind of struggling. They're still looking for their spot.
How about Milwaukee?
They still need a couple more weapons, I think. Their big Greek freak can't really do much on his own, in my opinion, without a good point guard dishing out the ball.
I would love to see them make a run. I think the Greek freak is an awesome player. He's a fun guy to watch. It would be nice if they could make some noise in the East, although it would be hard to crack at least those top three that we talked about.
Right. It's definitely going to be a very interesting season, to say the least, with new faces, new places, like I've said before. But overall, I would say it might end the same way. It might not. It'll be nice to see it end something different than the last 4 years of Warriors-Cavs, which probably will, because the Cavs are probably not going to make the playoffs without LeBron, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I would just love, as a fan of sports in general, I would love to see a little bit more parity in the NBA. And, you know, the Warriors can still win the title, but there can be other teams, like, in the mix that would make it more interesting than it has been for the last few years. But, yeah, you know, I'm kind of rooting for chaos.
Yeah. We're going to end this segment here. We're going to end the last segment, which is whatever else we can think of in sports, and we'll get right on that when we get back to you.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We've talked about the baseball playoffs. We've talked about the NFL. We've talked about the NBA. Now let's get into another matter in the Ryder Cup in golf. The United States kind of got their rear ends handed to them in this one. What was the score of that game? Of that matchup, sorry?
17.5 to 10.5, the most lopsided victory since consecutive 18.5 to 9.5 victories by Europe more than a decade ago. So things have not improved for the American side.
Definitely was not in a United States matchup for sure. Europe just, they have the better golfers. It feels like they just played the better game. It was all Europe from the beginning. And it just, honestly, it's maybe a bad sign of things to come with the whole Phil Mickelson-Tiger Woods pay-per-view matchup coming up, of how bad Phil Mickelson's been playing. And with Tiger winning his last tour, it was a positive. But with this Ryder Cup, it kind of shows how Phil Mickelson's slowing down.
Yeah. And, you know, with Mickelson and, you know, Tiger Woods not being at the level that he was, you know, 5-6 years ago, it's hard to see the Americans kind of getting back into competition. I mean, let alone winning against Europe. They're obviously getting beat pretty good handedly year in and year out.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm not sure when it'll end.
Yeah, I don't know either. Especially, I think this hurts their buys for the Phil Mickelson-Tiger Woods pay-per-view matchup they're having for charity. I believe it's for charity, last time I checked. But
are you going to buy it?
It's like $25. Probably not. I need that for food, and I just finished college. I'm out. I need some money, and I'm not gonna waste it on waste it's a strong word, but I can definitely go to a bar or something and watch it.
Yeah, let someone else buy it and then, you know, show up or...
Go to Buffalo Wild Wings or something.
Yeah, go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
I'm sure they'll have it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be shocked if they didn't. So, yeah, I think that for me, it's one of those, let someone else buy it.
No, and absolutely.
Then, you know, reap the benefits.
I'm very shocked it's even a pay-per-view. I thought it was going to be on cable television or some sort of national television standpoint, which I think could have been better because I think more people would have watched it.
Yeah.
But just going back to the Ryder Cup, it was all Europe the whole way, and it was just, it wasn't even really a competition.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to say about it because it was that terrible of a match. So what do you think about UFC this weekend?
Is that the McGregor fight?
McGregor and Khabib, they finally, after all this talk, all this hype, they actually get to fight. Are you interested at all?
It just, honestly, that just sounds like every McGregor fight, all this talk leads to one fight. Because he's a great talker, no question about it. But I would definitely put him as, like, the best trash talker going right now. Maybe one of the best of all time, who knows. By the end of his career, who knows. But I'm definitely saying that people are very interested in this fight because McGregor is a draw.
It's crazy to me how McGregor, with his press conference antics, and he still has this ability to get under people's skin, and it's like, you know what to expect from him. And it's just funny to me how...
It's just annoying. I think they're just really annoyed by him. It's not like, oh, is what he's saying, get under my skin. It's just like, stop talking. I think that's what people are... I think that's what the fighters who face him are thinking.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun fight. It's going to be extremely difficult for McGregor to have his way. He usually likes to kind of run the show in the ring, and I think Khabib is a guy who... I think his power, his strength will be very tough for McGregor.
You think he'll force it to the ground, or you think he'll stand up?
I think McGregor would want to stand, but I don't
McGregor's
think
McGregor is more of a boxer than anything else,
right?
It feels like.
Yeah, I think Khabib, he'll want to take that to the ground. He'll want to maul him with his size.
Well, like, look at McGregor's losses. They're all, like, submissions.
Yeah, and, you know, usually when McGregor has trouble, it's because his opponent has a really strong chin. Because McGregor does have a lot of power. So I think, I don't know.
I think that's why he's trash talking so much, so he gets in the opponent's head, so they'll make a mistake so he can knock him out.
I agree with that 100%. I think he uses his trash talk to promote the style of fight that he wants.
Mm-hmm. Because he wants him to try to punch him in the face, not just be a regular amateur wrestling match.
Yeah, he wants to get in that macho, you know, grudge match, right, where they're just standing and swinging, and you know, he does a good job at getting fighters out of that. But as we saw with his matchups against Diaz, Diaz could take his punches. He took a ton of hits. McGregor was landing lots of shots, and normally he would get knockouts in those fights.
He was kind of bleeding everywhere.
Yeah. But it was like, Diaz is a guy, you know, that just, it's hard to knock him out, you know. And I kind of see that being a similar fight this time. Obviously, Khabib has different strengths, but I kind of see it going that way. I look for Khabib to win, but it is interesting now that McGregor kind of seems to be in his head.
Win or lose, McGregor is probably still popular and probably still the most popular out of the two. So, honestly, win or lose, McGregor still gets off with a smile in the end, in my opinion.
Yeah, he is the face of UFC right now. Especially, you know, not too long ago it was him and Rousey, and now, you know, she's not there anymore. So the UFC,
she is with the WWE right now, who she seems to be doing very well there. Like, usually when you see just going to that topic, seeing celebrities or other people from different sports going to professional wrestling, they usually struggle, but she has done anything but struggle. She's put on some very good matches. Some say she had the best match at WrestleMania last year, so she has improved considerably coming into a professional wrestling standpoint. And I can see McGregor doing the same thing, to be honest, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, McGregor is a showman. Like, he could be an athlete.
He would love the WWE.
Yeah, he could be an athlete, I think, in any sport, and he would just be an interesting character. He would be a draw. He likes to talk. He likes the sound of his own voice. So He's funny. I mean, I enjoy him. He's entertaining to me.
If he had his choice, he'd probably stick with boxing because they pay way more.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I don't know how they get all that money, though, to be honest.
Look at Floyd Mayweather's bank account. I mean,
I understand he was kind of the face of boxing, but, like, how does boxers, I don't think boxers make that much money that he has, right? Like, the Triple G fight.
Lot of money in boxing. I don't know.
Where does it come from, though? Please answer that to me. I seriously don't know.
I mean, advertisers, casinos.
Who pays that much?
It's
not as popular as it used to be.
It's not. It's definitely not, especially with younger
generations.
I feel like
USC should be paying more to their fighters than the boxing does, but boxing pays them way more.
USC or boxing has that old money, you know? Like, it's just that tried and true formula, and I don't know where they get all this money for those purses that they give out to these fighters, but there's still a ton of money in boxing.
Yeah. But anything else you want to say about sports today? Anything specifically?
No, I'm just looking forward to the MLB playoff, matchups that we have coming up here in a couple hours to determine a couple divisions.
Beautiful time for sports, I do.
Yeah, it's fantastic. The NFL, we're in full swing. We're heading into week 5. I mean, it's almost the middle of the season, which is weird to say.
School might be back for some people, but man, that's a bright side when you have sports. But that is all we'll do for today. Join us next time. Tomorrow we'll talk about how those game 163s went. But today we talked about, like I said before, we talked about the MLB playoffs. We've talked about the NBA. We've talked about week 4 of the NFL season. We've talked about McGregor and his big fight coming up. And we've also talked about the Ryder Cup. And tune us in tomorrow where we'll talk about some other more sports stuff. We'll get back to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.